I wish we could get Goose Gossage on. I want to know how offended he was by Correa's celebration last night, and if he was more offended by the Correa pimping of that home run last night or the bat flip 4 years ago today by Bautista down at the Rogers Center, both of which would send old Goosey Gossage.
I think the bat flip. Now, Correa just extended it. He had the number one right around the bases.
Yeah, the Hulkster, ear grab.
Yeah, actually,
that's aggressive,
man. That was a three-pack,
yeah.
What he did yesterday.
And then he threw the free-throw helmet right at the end. Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 MLB analyst. Put on your old-school, just cranky hat for us. Which celebration bothered you more?
Oh, I think that Gossage would absolutely go after the Correa issue, because you're right. It's three pronged. I mean, it's you know, he's got a little bit of everything in there, and Goose, you know, the idea, one of those guys hits a home run against me and acts like that, I'm going to throw at him the next time around. They don't do that stuff to me. In the old days, we used to settle that stuff. There's no way. The first time that guy comes up to bat next time, we drill him right between the numbers on the back of his uniform. He'll never do that again if I'm pitching. How's that? Get off my front lawn.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Not too bad.
They don't. That stuff's gone, though. I know the old school guys, but you watch baseball on regular base. There's a bat flip every game now. Like, a guy is a big homer. It's just kind of part of the game.
Well, Acuna pimped a single in the NLDS.
That's true. He did.
He did. You know, and it goes back. Listen, Ricky Henderson did that with us when I was with the Mets. I mean, Ricky, you know, he always used to, if he hit one, he'd sort of pick at his shirt and then he'd skip. And then start to trot to first base, and he'd tuck the shoulder around in the bases. And so he went into one of those with us, Ricky did. And sure enough, he rounded first, and as he's rounded first, he looks up, and the relay throw is coming in from left field to second base. He turns around, and Ricky was like, he was in full-blown stolen base mode, coming back in to dive into first base. And the next day, Robin Ventura, you know, at the old Shea Stadium, they had a seat marked way up in left field with a number 8 on it that Tommy Agee hit, supposedly the longest home run ever at Shea Stadium. Well, the next day, Robin Ventura put tape on the left field wall, you know, spelling out the number 24. And when Ricky came out, they said, Ricky, hey, listen, you've got the longest single in Mets history. They've marked it with your number on the wall right there. So, the celebrations have been around for a while, but certainly Correa, he went full blown all out with it. And it's, you know, he had a big walk off hit back in the 2017 against the Yankees, in the same series, in the championship series. He's had some practice at this. And so the better you are, the more chances you get to sort of celebrate.
I'm not surprised by what we saw last night, especially going into the 11th inning. But the Yankees had 9 different pitchers on the mound. You talk about old school guys losing their minds.
Oh, yeah.
That would be topic number one.
Well, the starter came out in what, the fourth or fifth?
He came out in the third. Paxton only got through two and a third.
Green
came in and was rolling. But clearly Boone made up his mind. We're going to make some adjustments here. But another example of a starter coming in out of the bullpen and getting rocked. Is this something we should be more focused on around baseball, or is this just inevitable and it's going to happen? And, you know, Hap played the role of Kershaw last night, and so be it.
Yeah, so in the regular season, they would not have taken Paxton out because he got rocked, but they only gave up one run.
Right.
He got into trouble a couple times, and they finally thought, you know what, enough's enough, and they got him out. And you know, the way managers are managing guys other than aces is that they tend to want to take them out before they get in trouble rather than once they get in trouble. And it used to be that's what a manager would do. His starter would go until he got in trouble, then you go to the bullpen. Now what managers do is they let him pitch, and then before he gets in trouble, they're like, okay, let me make a change here because I anticipate trouble is coming. Now, with Paxton, it happened earlier than they would have liked. They wanted to get 5, maybe 6 innings out of him. But because he was getting in so much trouble, you know, Boone looked at it and said, listen, off day, travel day after the game yesterday. So today being off, I can go to my bullpen. I can burn him out. I've got a day to recover, and then I can bring him back in to go for game 3 back in Yankee Stadium. So he went early to the pen, and he knew that you know, he played his card early. He had the depth to be able to get through the rest of the game, but because it was still tied and it went extras, they got to the point where the Astros look at it and have to believe, when we get to J. Happ, right now. We have matchup advantages because he's a left-hander that throws a lot of fastballs, you know, with all of the right-handed bats, and you start going through with Gurriel and Altuve and Bregman and obviously Correa, and you know, the guys that they have there. There's a real advantage when they get to have, just because of this, the situations they present themselves, and it cost the Yankees. But here's the thing. I would have taken out Paxton when he did. He took Green out when he was rolling to bring in Ottavino to pitch to Springer, because Springer had faced Ottavino four times and struck out three times. That's not a real, it's not a lot of information right there. And Ottavino hung a slider to Springer to hit the home run to tie the game. But then he went, you know, to Canely, who's got the changeup to get the left-handers and the right-handers out. And so he went through it and look at it at a 2-2 tie in the 11th. But they just ran out of good fortune.
So if you're New York, you light up game one, you feel good about yourself. You lose game two, and Verlander, he was on a mound doing what he generally does, although he wasn't necessarily the difference because it went 11 innings. But now you're looking at Gerrit Cole in game three and game seven, and Verlander again back in game six. So you're going to have to beat them at least once. Do you feel like you can do that? Do you feel like you can get a win off Cole or Verlander over the next, you know, five games?
Yeah, I think they look at it and think they can. And here's the thing. I think ideally the Yankees' best chance of winning the series is winning it in five, right? Versus, you know, going to game six and seven back in Houston where they're lined up with Verlander in six and Cole in seven. And so that means that, you know, they had to win one of the Verlander or Cole first starts. They had a shot yesterday in game two, and they're going to go into game three with Severino on the mound, and Severino doesn't have to match Cole. What they have to do is they've got to get Cole out of the game. And so they've got to work the count and take away the efficiency of his outing so that, you know, he throws a lot of pitches, they get him out. If you can't beat a guy, then just get him out of the game. And the way you do it is you work the count. Now, the thing about Cole is he just pounds the strike zone. But you know, they absolutely, you know, can keep it close. And you know, Severino could match Cole early, but he's not going to go as deep into the game. But the Yankees bullpen's going to be fresh, day off. They're going to be ready to go. And so, yeah, if the Yankees can steal that Cole game, then they have, Urquidy, the number four starter, who is very hittable. And then Greinke in a game five at Yankee Stadium, which I do not like from the Astros' perspective at all. But there's a good chance that even if Cole wins tomorrow, that the Yankees win game three and four, games four and five, and they're up 3-2 going back to Houston, having to beat Cole or Verlander one of those games in Houston.
With Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst. So a story that was broken, I guess, over the weekend was that Ross Atkins was secretly extended by the Blue Jays through 2021. And that lines up with Charlie Montoyo. And now the belief is, according to Ken Rosenthal, that Mark Shapiro is not far behind him. And Shapiro is going to get locked in at some point and be here for at least the next couple of years. You know how these two are perceived in Toronto. I'm talking about Shapiro and Atkins. It's a pretty low approval rate. But I'm not surprised that ownership would do this, because clearly they bought into whatever plan they were selling, that they were going to unload everything, they were going to start from scratch, they were going to dump money, they were going to load up on prospects, load up on picks, and the second phase would be bringing the kids up, shrewd trades, hopefully find some money for some signings, and if you committed to phase one, this would ultimately be committing to phase two. Is that how you see it?
I do, yeah. I think that you know, rebuilding is a process, I think that when you think about what did they promise ownership the rebuilding would look like, and it would be that at some point we're going to have a core of young players coming up that are exciting, that fans will get excited about, that we can look forward to building around for the future, and then we're going to start to fill in around those guys some of the other pieces. That's kind of what has happened with it. Now, the expectations, I think, are different from the fans than they are necessarily from the owners right now. The owners do want to win, but they understand that it's a process to get there. And I'm sure they were sold with the fact that it's going to take some time. There's going to be some dark days. We're going to lose some fan base coming out and tickets and attendance and numbers and all of that. We just have to stick to the plan and keep moving forward and then not rush it, but let it sort of be organically grown from the ground up. and ownership's bought into it, and they're excited about, you know, Bo Bichette and Vlad Jr. And Gurriel and Biggio and with Pearson coming and, you know, with Jansen behind the plate, and so they're looking at thinking, all right, listen, what these guys promised us, they're kind of delivering, because here's that core. Now, what will they be when they turn into winners? You know, that part remains to be seen, because there's a lot of ground to cover between where they are now and winning a championship, and there's places where it can stall out, where it can come up short, where they might not have all the pieces, but at least at this early part of it, the genesis of it, they're in a pretty good place.
All right, Steve, enjoy the game tonight, man. We'll do it again later in the week.
You bet, guys. My pleasure always.
Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 MLB analyst.